Do you feel continually let down by modern media? Do you miss the good old days, back when all that mattered was a good story and not some agenda? Do you have ambitions of picking up a pen and pad and fighting the creative war yourself? Then this is the podcast for you. Each week, I'm going to talk to a creator who said enough is enough and started making the content they wished was out there. Join us as we discuss the ups and downs of the self-publishing world. We want to help empower you to join the Iron Age of media. Welcome to Iron Age Marketing. Welcome everyone to another Iron Age Marketing. I'm Nikki B here as always, and today our guest is Mr. Luke Stone. How are we doing, Luke?
Good. Thanks for having me today.
For those who don't know, I stumbled across Luke as I knew most of our guests on Twitter, and I was excited because he's one of the first, like, really positive, really not interested in gatekeeping kind of people that I came across. You find a lot, especially people that use the comics gate term, liking to kind of keep people out of the space and keep it. I guess we all like to have our own little club, but I think that the club did what it needed to do, and maybe now we just need to worry about making good content. So, how are you doing today, Luke?
I'm doing pretty good. I'm doing all right, and I agree. I think sometimes we create little purity tests for people that we want to associate with, and that's not bad, you know. I guess to a certain extent, but I'm probably one of the people that is not really into that kind of stuff so much. I'm more into doing what you want.
Well, to me, like I'll say I'm an old school leftist. I'm a, you know, anti-corporate, good for the environment, like stop all the wars kind of person. And what's weird is that those things all became right-wing ideas at some point in the last 10 years. And I'm like, I don't feel like I changed. I feel like I'm the same hippie I've always been.
Well, you know, as a man of faith, you know, obviously I have, you know, kind of Christian worldview and morals and values. And so I've always leaned a little bit right of center because of that. But I was still very liberal in a lot of my ideas and in the way I kind of perceived society. And now, like the way the brackets have been moved, I'm pretty much as right wing as they get. I guess if I should probably not wear Hawaiian shirts for a little while because, you know, I don't know. It's crazy.
Yeah, they'll be after you. So how did you find yourself kind of getting mixed up in this space? You also, I should mention, are one of the guys behind a new platform for helping people sell their comics. Is that correct?
Yes. I started a crowdfunding platform called Fund My Comic. Once we kind of started getting going with that, I brought on a partner by the name of Todd Oldmans, and he and I run that company with a number of, right now, volunteers helping with admin work. One of these days, they may get a paycheck, though. We'll see.
What was the impetus behind that?
Well, it was pretty simple, actually. In 2021, I got sick in August, and I wound up going to the hospital with COVID. I was in the hospital for a couple weeks, and they had to put me in a coma, and I was in that coma for 5.5 weeks. And then I woke up, and we had 5 months in the hospital, recovery and everything. So life pretty much was paused for me. Before that, I was a pastor of a small church in Florida. And one of the things that we had, or like, I think it was late 2020, early 2021, we were having a meeting because there was a bill that was being presented that if a pastor would preach something from the pulpit concerning sexuality, marriage, gender, things like that, that they could potentially be charged with a hate crime, okay? And the church would lose its tax-exempt status. And so we were having a board meeting, and this came up, so I brought this up, and it was like just a blip in the meeting. It was so small because they were like, well, I guess we'll bail you out and we'll just have to pay taxes, right? But we kind of saw that there was a group of people that were trying these things. You know, they were trying to be more militant about their ideas, what they wanted. It wasn't just, hey, let us be. It was like, no, you have to think like us. You have to be like us. You know, you can't just say do what you want, but you have to agree with everything I want, you know. And that's not, I couldn't, obviously I couldn't do that as you know, a man with Christian values. I couldn't do that. As a, you know, libertarian, I couldn't do that. You know, that's not how we are. We're kind of live and let live people. And so that was kind of in my brain prior to this. Well, when I woke up and finally could start getting TV and media again, I realized that the world had gone to hell. And I kind of felt like I woke up in a bizarro world, honestly. And I was waiting for the dream to be over, but it never ended. We're still in it. But I realized, so when I came home in January of 2022, I started doing comics again. I slowly got back into it by the end of January, beginning of February. But one of the things I realized, I saw that there was a guy that Indiegogo, was withholding his funds for some reason because of trust and safety. And so I looked into what trust and safety was, and I realized that it's basically just a censorship committee is basically what it is. And I started to think, I need to find something that I can do in order to continue to connect with my audience when they inevitably try to cancel me, because Christian, leans conservative, you know, they're coming for me.
Yeah, it's only a matter of time.
And I wanted to make sure that, you know, I had a free platform to be able to create and do art. Like my book, it's not, you know, it's not Christian propaganda. My comics that I make, they're about superheroes and, you know, descendants of the ancient Greek gods and stuff like that. You know, I mean, it's just fun entertainment. And
so technically somebody else is religious and you're propagandizing that.
Right. Yeah. It's not even. Yeah. But true. I didn't even think of it that way. But people don't care about what's in the book so much. They care about the person behind the book now, you know, and then even if you want to put some of your own thoughts and views in there, you know, heaven forbid I should do a book on, you know, on some Christian values that the world deems intolerant, you know, I still wanted to be able to have the freedom to do that.
Well, it's been funny. When I kind of fell into the libertarian space a number of years ago, it's like I found myself an odd company because, like I said, I'll say I'm a leftist. And I found myself in this weird space where I was surrounded by these displaced Catholics and Mormons. And now many of my friends are all like Orthodox Christian and Russian Orthodox, Greek Orthodox, things like that. That's a whole new thing.
Yeah, I think if you have any adherence to scripture and the morals in scripture, you're kind of labeled. They kind of push you into this area. Okay. They make you go there. And I knew it was coming. And so I started looking into ways to kind of cancel proof myself, you know, to be uncancelable. And as I was doing that, I ran across, I looked at the different methods that were out there for doing crowdfunding, WordPress, Shopify, plugins, all that. And nothing was standing out as a viable option for me. And I wound up running across this developer that had created a crowdfunding infrastructure. And they also provided hosting. Now their infrastructure was proprietary. So it wasn't like code that I could just use on my own website. Like they said, if you use our code, we have to manage all of this because it's ours. I'm like, yeah, that's fine. I don't care. And so it saved me some stuff, but they have like these really low like entry points for people that are just like kind of fooling around. And so I did that. I tried it out and I started looking at it and it was going to work for me. I needed to make some upgrades. So I paid for some upgrades because you have to pay the developers. They're developers. That's what they do. That's their job. That's their company, right? So they make the website do what I want it to do. And so, you know, they made a couple changes and we started looking into, you know, I had some of my more technically minded friends look at it and they said, you know, you can host a lot of people on this. I said, yeah, I can host other campaigns. I was thinking maybe helping out my friends in case they got canceled, you know, and then shadow bannings started taking place, which was, you know, I was like, okay, well, that's weird. And then Mike Barron gets kicked off of Kickstarter for his book, Private American. And I'm like, you know, this is nuts. So I was convinced into opening up the infrastructure for more people. And so we started making additional upgrades and we are still making upgrades, but we got to the point where we could launch this thing. We launched it about 3 months ago, a little over 3 months ago. So yeah, we started in 2022 with it and just watching the way things were going with crowdfunding. And, you know, now people are fighting over Indiegogo versus, or what I call the pink site versus the green site. You know, they're going at which one to use, principles and all that kind of stuff. And I'm like, I don't have to worry about that. My principles are, you know, build an ark to get out of this stuff. And so that's what we did.
I'm curious if you have any plans in that regard to move past just comics and kind of move more into like the broader Iron Age media space, or you guys plan just kind of keeping it strict to comic books?
Well, it's not just comic books right now. Actually, the site is the broader Iron Age things. We do games, we do novels, anything is on there. It's just a clever branding tool for Fund My Comic, because anything that you would find at a comic book shop is basically on the website. So that's kind of how we do it. So it really is kind of geek culture. I am looking at possibly doing a site that will be movies and music. So kind of, you know, that's kind of more in that area. That's not really Iron Age or anything, but there is space for it.
We've seen what's happened with Tim Pool in the past, you know, couple months, and I'm like him getting kicked off of Bandcamp. So there's absolutely a place for that out there. I know plenty of artists out there that would love it.
Yeah, I mean, be able to sell digitals and things like that would be nice. Yeah, there's all kinds of stuff that you can do. So we're looking at expanding into that. And I know that crowdfunding TV shows, movies, things like that happens. And yeah, I'm a big fan of The Chosen, and it was crowdfunded. And so I'm like, you know, we could get into that space too. You know, we could help any way we can. Why not, right?
The Tuttle Twins, you know, perfect example. I love watching that show with my kid. So we've talked a bit about, you know, kind of what you do. We haven't talked about much about your creation. I'm curious, what do you create in this space right now?
I am a writer and artist of a book called Hybrids, The Sons of Gods. It's about some, so have you ever read the Bible, any of it at all? You might not, but it doesn't really matter if you have or not.
I'm recovering Catholic.
Okay, recovering Catholic. So you might recall in Genesis chapter 6, it speaks about these sons of God or angels that sleep with the daughters of men, and they procreate and make these babies. And these creatures are known as the Nephilim. And Joshua actually hunted down the last king of the Nephilim. And they believe that the prominent Philistine, Goliath, was one of these giants that was created, one of these Nephilim. And so I started doing a little bit of research on that, and I got really interested to find out that the Nephilim actually inspired the Greek gods and most of mythology. And so to think that all of this could be based on real life creatures that existed on Earth really intrigued me. And then so I just mixed a little of that with 23andMe in the movie Taken, and we have some fun now. You know, so we...
oh, good Lord.
So basically the offspring of these ancient Greek gods are running around. You know, a little bit of that DNA is in people, and something happens that causes that DNA to wake up. And so people start developing these godlike abilities, and then someone's coming around and abducting those people. And so we have a small team of people trying to figure out who is doing it, why they're doing it. Once they figure it out, they realize that there's way more to this whole operation than they realize. And so that's what we talk about. We mix in myth and conspiracy and all of this weird stuff. And I thought that it was escapism until reality started playing out the plot of my comic book. It got nuts. I promise. I made this up before, you know, when you read it, like, you're like, wait a second. No, this was written before all of this weird stuff happened in our cult, in our world. But yeah, so it's about that. And we're 9 books in.
Well, now I'm way more intrigued. I'm curious, have you ever read or have you ever watched the TV show? It was originally a British show, and then they made an American version of it. Goodness, Amazon released it. Then they had to put a disclaimer on it because literally the show was about a virus put out by the government killing all the people.
Well, we have a corporation that's abducting people and making this special, harvesting this special kind of adrenochrome drug, which is adrenaline harvested from superpowered people at peak moments of stress. You know, so normal adrenochrome is adrenaline harvested from the harvest gland, from the adrenaline gland, at the peak moment of stress right before death. And so imagine they're just doing that with superpowered people. And so there's this drug now on the street called Red Cape. In book 8 and 9, you start learning more about it in book 6. And yeah, so you've got the Red Cape you got to deal with. And then we're getting ready to start the last arc on that. So we got the first 2 arcs done, and We're funding that right now, but we also made an RPG to go with it. So there's a role-playing game that you can kind of engage with the whole world with this. And so that's what we're working on. And unfortunately, it hasn't gotten a lot of eyes. We're talking about marketing, but because every time I go to market it, people have one question. Oh, you're funding this on your own website, on your own website, right? I go, yeah. And so then we talk about Fund My Comic, and that starts to get, people are intrigued by that. And so it's understandable. I'm glad that we're getting the traffic there. But yeah, the whole purpose of starting Fund My Comic was so that I could make comics and be left the hell alone. And the opposite is okay. True. I've not been able to make my comic because
now
I'm so
everybody
busy.
Wants to talk to
and
you.
Everyone wants to talk, but it's great. I'm not upset by that at all. But it's just funny that like that was the inspiration.
So we call success problems.
Yeah, the inspiration was I just want to make my comic be left the hell alone. And the opposite is true now. But yeah, it's pretty nice.
So I'm a tabletop guy myself. So I'm curious, like what type of game is this?
Oh, it is. You're talking the mechanics wise. So I have a partner by the name of Nick Tockard, and he created a new mechanic system called Base Plus 2. And so this is the first game to have the Base Plus 2 system. It's really pretty simple. The way it was developed, I have some trading cards that I made and I used a power value on the back. And, you know, as I'm doing it, I kind of created these characters with a role-playing game in mind. You know, I played GURPS a lot growing up. And so I had this idea, the structure in my head already. And so when I was like putting this power structure in the little meter on the back of the card, I wasn't thinking long-term, like how it could be used. I just knew that I had a base for that. And Nick was able to decipher all of those numbers and said, oh, this is a base plus two. And so he created a mathematical system to run the engine of this game based off of some trading cards that I had made. And so the guy's really quite genius and helped me create, you know, kind of this whole hybrids universe that lives in my head now. It can live in everybody else's head too. So it's really quite fun to do that.
So when will the game itself be available? Because I'm really interested in that.
Well, we have the quick play already. The second quick play is almost ready to go to print, and I have to finish up the bestiary art. And so once I finish up the bestiary art, Steve Dye, who is a part of the Rocket magazine that comes out, he is finishing up the pre-press stuff for us on it. So I'm looking at 2-3 weeks to be ready to go to print, maybe 5 at max.
Fun.
It is fun.
Right on.
I'm very excited about it.
So I want to take the last couple minutes here to pivot and actually do some marketing talk. And you obviously have, you went and did something most people don't do. You actually started your own platform to sell your stuff, which I'm sure has only been good in helping you market things because you don't have to rely on anybody else's place to do it. But what does marketing look like or mean to you when I say that?
Well, I think a lot of people make a mistake. They wait to market after they've got a... They wait to do the marketing after they've got the product. And marketing really starts way before that. Marketing starts the moment you have your idea. You start when you start testing that idea out with people. You're trying to draw in a fan base. Really, that's what we think. There's some magic formula to marketing, but really is connecting with fans. It's getting people excited about what you're excited about. And that starts from kind of the very beginning, the conception of the idea. And so marketing to me is really finding ways that you can connect with people and new people, which can be tricky because most of the time you're dependent on the charity of other people when you're doing that. You know, when you mentioned building your own platform, normally you're going on people's podcasts like this or other people's shows, you're dependent upon their charity. And there are people out there that definitely abuse that charity a great deal. You know, they make it very difficult for anybody to want to market you or want to promote you. So we're noticing that a lot of the what we call shill shows are going away. And, you know, now platforms are either banning you or shadow banning you. The other part of marketing was going on a platform that had automatic traffic. And now we're not getting that. And so the best advice, you know, that I ever took was to build my own platform, to kind of build my own society of fans, if you will, my own community. And that can be very difficult, but it's one fan at a time, I think, is really the best way to do that. It's reaching one person at a time. And it's a hustle. I think we all want to get to those places like Tim Pool, where he's got this big audience, or EVS or somebody.
But the thing is that, you know, especially like for the people of us here, like in the quote unquote Iron Age, it's really about finding people like us and finding the people that we connect with and finding people that are passionate about the stuff that we're passionate about. The beauty of, you know, a bomb being thrown into the middle of the corporate system is that everyone is now kind of scrambling to find the thing that they gravitate towards. And what's beautiful is I think more people are going to find the things that they gravitate towards that are way outside the norm, because most people don't like the norm stuff. And it's, I talked about it in my episode with Joe Ball about, you know, there's no more rock stars because everyone gets to listen to whatever music they can find on the internet, which isn't the stuff that the corporations used to push. And we're having the same thing happen in comics. And, you know, we were talking a little bit about how a lot of the impetus between this whole diaspora was politics. But I think to kind of keep any of this about politics is it's silly, because the bottom line is which side of the corporation you're on depends at what point in history you're on.
Exactly.
So like to think that they're pushing you for any benevolent reason is always stupid. Like I am a member of the LGBTQ community, and to think that they have my interests because they want to talk about my people now is stupid, because they've persecuted us for a long time up until now.
Oh, you must love June. I call that corporate pander month. It's like, oh my gosh, like these people don't care. They honestly don't care. So today it's conservative voices.
Well, that was the weirdest thing for me is in the past 5 years. The past 5 years watching this shift between leftists starting to love companies, and I'm like, what is wrong with you people? Like, as far along as I've been, we've all been anti-corporate. That was...
It's really...
That's fascism,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, it's ridiculous. So, I mean, today it's conservative voices that are getting silenced, and tomorrow, the next day, it's probably going to be more liberal voices, because the pendulum swings. And so I wanted to create a platform where, you know, here's the thing. Freedom only works if it works for everybody, like if everybody gets it. And so that's what I wanted from my comic to be, where friend and foe could fund on there no matter what. And, it takes some guts. It takes some work to do that. But politics may have started this thing. Politics will always come in and affect you in some way. There is a culture war. I mean, let's be honest. There is one. You can't ignore it at this point. It is in your face every day. But I fight the culture war in my community by getting involved. I fight the culture war with my family by, you know, sharing the right way to communicate with people. I fight the culture war by actually having conversations with people that are different than me, you know, and trying to find common ground. That's where I fight it. I still want comic books to have escapism. I left the mainstream because of the influence of activists. And I don't want to become the activist on the other side of the aisle kind of thing. I still want comics books to be fun.
That's hitting me in a real and personal way. Now, I actually got an email or a message on one of my platforms the other day about someone wanting to come on the show and promote their book, and was doing just a little checkup on the background of the person. And essentially, the idea of the novel, it's a pulp book set in Southern California, is essentially what they pitched it as. But doing research on the writer, it's a boomer-aged, gay, former professor at Oberlin College. And I'm like, I'm totally cool with helping promote this book, but then I'm wondering what kind of negative backlash is that going to bring me from that side of the aisle? Like, are they? I already have guests that have, you know, I'm sure if we were to talk politics would hate me. And, like, I'm okay with that, but... You know, I don't want to be the curator, but at the same time, like, is it going to bring more headaches than I want to deal with also?
Yeah, you do have to curate your brand. I get real sick of these purity tests, you know, and I may not have a purity test. My kind of rule is if you're cool, then you get to hang out with me, right? Just don't be a dick. That's kind of my rule. Don't be a dick. And unfortunately...
Well, my real concern is just that I once had a podcast years ago about libertarian music, and I had a guest on, and then one of his band members kind of in the very beginning of the last thing that happened in the world that I talk about, I had to go and scramble and take down every instance of that podcast like 2 years after it happened, because this person like went out, like threatened to physically hurt people if we couldn't get rid of it, because something was said in it that like they were politically against. And it's like, I don't want to be in that position again. Like I'm not going to make anybody say anything that they don't believe, but when people can be so negative and change in a dime like that, it's like, is this going to be another one of those things? And it just, I struggle.
And I would like to think that it's just like one side that gets that way, but it's not. Like, both sides can get very militant when they get very passionate. And I'm passionate about comic books and games and fun media and saying F you to the corporations. I mean, they're taking all this money, and they're one of the big things about the pink site and the green site is they take 5%. And when the pink site starts shadow banning you and they're still taking 5%, that just upsets me, because you're paying them basically to keep you silent, you know, to keep you away from everyone. That's not right. You went there because of the traffic that you assumed they would bring you, but they're not.
Well, and it becomes even worse when you start getting into ESG, and then they're taking pension funds to, you know, force ideas and blacklist people with money that they shouldn't be getting either.
Oh, Lord. Yeah. Oh, Lord. Yeah. And so corporations, I'm all for capitalism, but I don't like corporations just taking and hogging all the money. So I thought we got to have a way to.
Well, I think there's nothing capitalist about corporations anymore. No. I'll be the first to say that.
Yeah. And so we had to have an option.
Like, way off topic of marketing, I guess.
Well, a little bit, but I mean, they've marketed everything. They own it all, right? So they have the keys to the car. They tell you what to think, they tell you what to buy, and you know, what's good and what's bad. I mean, look, if I owned the reviewers that were reviewing my book, I could tell them what to say about my book, right? How is that fair?
Which we're watching in movies happen every day now.
Every day.
When they refuse to post reviews for things, or they hide reviews, delete reviews, make reviews not possible for, like,
they're not being honest, right? So guerrilla marketing is what's taking over. People know about the internet. And I got to say, I think it started with Gamergate. They got sick of that paid for promotion, and they were getting games that they were told were going to be great, but they were terrible. And they realized that the companies that were making the game owned the reviewers, you know, and so it was all lies. And so that started this whole other movement. And that's where all these gate names came from, which are, I think, a little silly, but I mean, it is what it is. And people, because of the internet, YouTube, primarily YouTube, now Rumble, Twitter, people are getting their information in different ways than they used to. And so you just have to get out there and get the information out. And I find really a good way to market. I hear this a lot. Listen to this one. My work speaks for itself. Well, no, it doesn't. Nikki, I'm telling you, it does not speak for itself. There's too much stuff out there. You have to speak for your art. People probably know who I am now because of Fun My Comic. They hear Fun My Comic, they probably recognize my name. They're going to hear Fun My Comic probably before me. But most people are like, well, what is it that you do? How'd you get here? Well, few people know that I actually make a book and that it's really damn good. Like, that's the thing. It's like, it's, yeah. Because, you know, it's sitting over there with just a, you know, less than the $2,000 raised because I'm out here pushing Fund My Comic. But it's about engagement. So I've been trying to engage with as many people as possible.
I was actually editing my episode that I did with Declan Finn right a little bit before we came on to do this. And so much of that was talking about, you know, when you're talking about the marketing, it's going out, it's making friends, it's meeting people, it's spreading the word. And the struggle with it is that because he's like, I'm a writer because I don't want to be around people.
Right.
That's why I sit about 7 hours a day and write, because I didn't want to do that. But the inevitable is that we have to.
Yeah. There's a catch-22 to it, really. You know, when you're marketing, you're not writing. When you're writing, you're not drawing. When you're drawing, you're not marketing. You know, there's only so much time in the day that you have, and you have to figure out how you're going to spread that time economy of time around, because it's not so much an economy of money that we're fighting for, it's economy of attention. So we have to figure out how we're going to use our time to gain their attention. And it can be a very tough balance to strike, especially if you work a full-time job and have a family. Now I have a family, my full-time job is now comics, is what I do. And so, but it's still very difficult for me to balance between commission work and promotion, you know, for.
Well, you know what you need to do? This is a real easy fix for you. You get to know people like me. What our job is, what we want to do, isn't make comics. It's want to go out and help other people tell people about their comics.
Exactly. And We need more of them. And I think that is the thing. So I'm finding that building something that people can get excited about is helping. You know, I didn't realize how we're like 12 months ahead of schedule in one aspect of the business and 3 months ahead of schedule in another aspect of the business. So we're pretty far ahead of where we thought we would be after 3 months of being open to the public. One of the things I didn't realize was how easily people got excited about what we were doing.
Well, we're nerds, man. That's what we do.
Right. Yeah. At first, it felt like I was hitting a lot of walls because like I wanted to push it and tell people about it, but it was getting difficult for me, you know, because how many grifters are there out there, right? And then we started getting a handful of creators on the site that believed in what we were doing and were using it in this kind of this beta format. And they're the ones that started to push it, you know, and then we incentivized those creators, you know, because I remember I went back to my corporate days. How can I incentivize my creators that are on there, you know, as, you know, have them ownership. And so we started working on that. And one of the things is we encourage people to call it our site, you know, our home, you know, that way they can, you know, that's where my platform that I like to use, you know, like let them take some ownership of that. We did have a little bit of issues because someone thought someone else was a co-owner and like, no, they're just a fan. They just love it. No, so we had a little bit of trouble with that, but we're seeing that the growth is really coming from the people that are using the website. The fans, the backers were the ones.
Well, you know, if you create a product that people want, they'll tend to buy it. You know, it's not rocket science. If you go into a market, screaming, I need this thing. Where do I get this thing? And then you give it to them. Tends to work out well for you. It's like selling lemonade on a hot day. No brainer.
I think the idea of having a digital comic book store where you can get games and collectibles and, you know, if you just want to find stuff that's digital, there's a category for just digital, like they're selling digitals of their books. And we even have a spot for miniatures because we understand that there's a miniature market out there that doesn't really have a great place to fund.
The next thing out of my mouth is, are you doing models or miniatures?
Yep. We have people can do that on there. We call it Fund My Comic because that's, you know, you still call it a comic book store, right? When you go buy that stuff, right?
It's the idea of a comic book store, and that I get.
You can comic book store, right? So it's Fund My Comic. And primarily, we fund comics. I mean, that's really the larger part of the market out there for, you know, that was really being affected. But no, we're, you know, I think everybody can take advantage of our 3% platform fee. You know what I mean? It's 5% everywhere else.
Dude, you said you're undercutting everybody else on top of it? Jeez.
Yeah. So, yeah, not only do you get freedom, but you get more money. And that's the thing. I didn't want to just be a competitor to these other two because of politics or the culture war. I'm happy to do that. I'm happy to be that, right? But I wanted to be a viable alternative for people in this space because the traffic on the other two sites, the green site and the pink site, about 5 to 10% of their traffic is there for comics and games. That's it. 100% of our traffic is for comics and games. So the organic growth that you could potentially get from using Fund My Comic is much greater than the organic growth that you could get from the green site or the pink site, because those two places, they have a lot of people going to the site, but most of them aren't there for comics and games. Now the green site has a little more traffic for that than the pink site. But to be honest, when someone shows up at Fund My Comic, they're looking for something with a good story. They're looking for something that's fun. They're looking for something that's fairly affordable. And they're looking for something in this sphere, right? That's what they're there for. So you know that the demographic that I'm trying to sell to is typing in fundmycomic.com and going to the website. You know that. It's already built into that.
I will recommend this. I don't talk much about this stuff, but you'll probably guess would appreciate it. I'm not sure if you've ever heard of DonorC, DonorSee. But it's a platform created by this guy, Gret Geyer. Gret's sadly no longer with us. He died way too young. But he thought that the way charity was done was terrible. And so he went and put together an app, which is basically a crowdfunding app The difference being, like, you get the video feedback of what your money actually goes to. And so you're getting people over in Africa, and they're saying, I need $1,500 to build a house for this family. And they send you the videos of, like, what that money actually goes to at the end of it. And it's this idea of you've got a particular niche, and then you've got the idea of incentivizing people, gamifying it, to want to invest it. You know, God, man, keep throwing that money at something when you get to see, like, the direct impact you're having on people across the world. And this, to me, I mean, I'm not going to give you Greg Glier status right now as far as humanitarian awards go, but what you're doing is very important to a lot of people, and I'm excited to watch it grow.
I'm excited to be a part of it. It's one of those things, you know, coming back from the near-death experience, you treat every day like it's brand new and like it's a gift. I mean, just waking up today and having air in my lungs, it was a gift. And it's not really about what I can take.
Which I feel terrible about, because my fat ass didn't get nothing over the past 2 years. So I feel bad that you did, man. It sucks.
Yeah, my lungs are still at just 33% capacity. So it's a little tough. You'll notice in my voices, I have this really calm, soothing voice now. It's because of the scarring on my vocal cords. And it's all good. But every day's a gift. And it's not about what I can get or gain before I leave. For me now, it's about what can I leave behind when I'm gone? You know, what can I, and I'm hoping that Fund My Comic and the things that result from it, not just the businesses that result from it, but I have ministry plans that involve the influence that I could possibly gain from this. You know, like I said, I'm a strong man of faith. You know, I believe God loves everybody. And I believe that there is that there's peace in relationship with him. And there's a lot of people in our space that don't know that. But I see a lot of people in our space that are hurting. And what gave me the inspiration to really try to have help for our kind of community was because every time I would go to a convention, my wife would have to watch the table while I'm inevitably doing some kind of what we would call, quote unquote, pastoral care. You know, I'm talking to someone about their problems and helping them. I'm praying for them, giving them some advice or something. And I realized that people want to be listened to. They want to be seen beyond the cosplay, you know, and if there's someone there that can do that, then they'll take advantage of it. And so I want to develop a ministry that does that. And the only way to do that is, number one, to have a steady income to where I don't have to worry about, you know, the time or the money it costs to travel and set up a ministry at conventions, and influence. It really is all about influence, Nick.
Well, I think it's more about more than influence, it's about relationships. Like, that's the thing that really settled here, because when you have relationships, you're going to have influence exactly. On people. So go build the relationships and the influence will come.
I think that's the core of marketing. Influence, really.
I think if everyone cared and felt the way about, like, their books that you do, I mean, the marketing part should just fall into place. I can help teach you skills, and as long as you approach it with that desire, we'll get there. Where can people go and check you out?
A few places. LukeStoneStudios.com is my website. That's probably the easiest place to find me. It's going to have my Twitter feed and a few other things on there. Some information about myself and links to you can buy my books and my merch over there. FundMyComic.com. Right now, that tends to be most of my life at the moment. That is, kind of occupying a lot of my time. But so you find me there, Luke's at fundmycomic.com. And then, you know, like I said, Twitter and stuff like that. But yeah, my website's the best place to get a hold of me. I actually like the internal messaging system there. I don't like the one on Fund My Comic yet. I got to fix it.
All right. Well, thank you so much for coming on today, boss. And
that's my pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Hope you have a good day.
Do you fancy yourself the next Tolkien, Lewis, or Barker? Maybe you just have something subversive to say. Hopefully this podcast is helping you. But maybe your ambitions are just a little bigger than you can handle on your own. Head over to ironagemarketing.com and let Nikki P. help ensure your book doesn't release to nobody.